Okay, it's Johnny Valenzuela here for A Fleeting Glimpse again, and my goodness, I'm in a room with John Karen, Graham Broad, Harry Waters. I'm surrounded by you guys. This is...
I'm being cursed like crazy. So get
don't forget Sean Evans.
And Sean Evans. This is I'm in greatness. This is fantastic. Thanks for talking to me, Harry. How are you?
All right, no problem. Very good.
Excellent. Well, this and two more nights in the States, three nights in Mexico, and then
that sounds about right.
Another 60 in Europe?
Is it 60? Something like that. 61. There you go. Yeah.
And lo and behold, you had a birthday while out on the road.
Yeah.
A little thing in Miami, right?
Yeah. Had a gig there. Yeah, it was fun. The guy who distributes my record lives there, so he organized a little, you know, jazz gig. Yeah, it was fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
There's a clip on YouTube of them singing "Happy Birthday" to you.
Really? I haven't seen that. I've seen a couple of clips. My Funny Valentine was on, and a couple of other bits. But I haven't seen that. But it was very sweet. Yeah, they made me a cake. And
did you know it was coming?
No, I really had no idea. No. At the end of the night, I tried to leave just before midnight, and they said, no, you've got to stay till midnight, because and then I knew, you know, that there was something was going on. Yeah.
Was your dad there in the audience that night?
He was, yeah. He stayed for the gig. He left as soon as the gig was over, but yeah, he was, yeah.
So, obviously, you've got sort of a unique... Not necessarily role in the band, but just you know, you have a bit of personal history with Roger, more so than professional, I guess.
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Your On the Wall album, if I recall.
Yeah, that's true. Goodbye. Yeah, the beginning of Goodbye Blue Sky. Yeah.
Do you still laugh, or is that funny to you, or did?
No, I don't. I mean, it's just no. Every I don't ever. No, I don't laugh about it. I mean, it's not funny. It's just a thing, you know.
Do you recall when that recording was made?
Yeah. It was in Fife Road, which is the house I grew up in, and it was out in the garden, I think, and they just got me to say read a bunch of lines, you know. I probably couldn't even read by then. It was only about three, so they probably just told me to say a bunch of stuff. I think Bob Ezrin did it, who's the producer of The Wall. Saw him a few days ago at the gig. But yeah. Yeah, sort of vague memory. Don't remember it clearly, no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you recall, was there an airplane in the sky?
Oh, no. It would have just been lines. You know, they just got me to read a bunch of lines, yeah. I think. I couldn't say for sure, but I doubt it, yeah.
Now, being Roger's son, was there, growing up, did you have any sort of, you know, resistance to familiarize yourself with dad's music?
No, I love The Wall from day one. That's my earliest memory, is seeing The Wall show, actually, when I was about four. I always loved that. But I didn't get into the rest of Pink Floyd's music until I was about 16, maybe 15 or 16. No, didn't resist it, just didn't kind of discover it, as it were, yeah, until a bit later on. Yeah.
I see. So when it came, when your dad told you, okay, I'm gonna tour this album now, did you pull the record out and start learning the pieces then, or
I mean, we knew a bunch of the songs already. We knew, you know, Mother and Flesh and Comfortably Numb and a bunch of other songs, once I got the gig, then yeah, you know, I sat down and learned the whole thing.
Yeah. So when you sat down to really pick it apart, what did you think at that point? In terms of music, just, you know, so from a piano player's keyboard player's perspective.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like learning anything, really. You just sit down and listen to it and learn it, you know. I mean, I love the record. I know it so well, so I learned it very quickly, you know. It was sort of easy to pick it all up because I know it so well. It was a lot of fun learning it, yeah.
Now, I have read that you're credited with sort of convincing your dad about the 1980 and 81 recordings to go ahead and put it out. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but only in that, well, what I had heard was that, you know, you being sort of a fan of, say, Phish, bands that allow taping and allow the live recordings to get around, that you sort of warmed him up to that idea. Was that accurate?
Partly. I've definitely said to him, yeah, he knows that I listen to Phish and Grateful Dead and Allmans, and, you know, they have thousands of bootlegs out there, you know, and they, those American jam bands, they support that, you know, they welcome recording and, hey, distribute the tapes. And this is obviously different, you know, if you get caught, you get the tape taken away. So I've definitely had those conversations with him, but I don't know whether it's made any difference or anything, you know. I think it's a good idea. Why not? You know, but there's legal reasons, I guess, why they don't want it recorded, you know.
Do you collect Grateful Dead shows?
I've got a bunch. I haven't done for ages. You know, I was in a Grateful Dead tribute band for a few years. And, I mean, I've got loads. But they're all on tape now. So,
cassette, right?
Yeah, a cassette, you know. So I haven't listened to them for ages, you know. So when I listen to the Dead now, I just listen to records, you know, the records. But I should really update, you know, download a bunch of shows, you know.
I've got close to 1,000 cassettes collecting dust now, unfortunately, but that's how it is.
Yeah, that is how it is. Yeah, I mean, you know, if push comes to shove, he's definitely one of my Jerry Garcia is one of my all-time favorite musicians of all time. You know, I mean, I know he's not a piano player, but there's no one else plays like him. You know, apart from Steve Kimmock, who plays exactly like him. You know, but you know. There's only one. He really is just totally, totally special, you know. And I just love his playing. Absolutely love it.
How about keyboard players? Any influences?
Yeah. I mean, mainly piano players like Bobby Timmons, Bill Evans, Keith Jarrett, Oscar Peterson, Red Garland, Tommy Flanagan, McCoy Tyner. Sort of all the usual ones.
A lot of good jazz guys, huh?
Yeah. I mean, those are all jazz guys. Yeah. But, you know, I love Chick Corea as well. Mainly those jazz guys. You know, those are my sort of main piano guys. But I love John Lords. I love Jimmy Smith. Billy Preston, you know, had great Hammond players.
In between the U.S. tour and Europe, you guys have about 3 months downtime.
About 2.5, I think. Yeah, I think we go back on the road in the middle of March, so we have January, February, and a bit of March.
You got plans for downtime?
No, just play some jazz and be with my family. You know, that's the only downside of being on tour is being away from my, you know, wife and kids. I hate being away from them. That's the only downside. So I'm just going to be at home and spend time with my family and, you know, play the piano every day, which I can't do on tour. It drives me crazy, you know, living in a hotel. It's hard to play a piano. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, obviously looking forward to the show tonight, and you know, best of luck to you. I regret already that this is probably the only one that I'm going to get to see, because obviously, you know, I think you need more than one to take it all in.
I think so. Yeah. There's a lot going on. So,
Well, thanks. Thank you very much, Harry Waters.
Cheers. No problem.
Okay.